This is the Taxi Link, brought to you by the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. I'm Pete Tucker with thefightback.org, and I'm joined by my co-host, Tony Norman, who's chair of DC's Advisory Neighborhood Commission 1B, which includes U Street, 9th Street, and Georgia Avenue. Welcome, Tony Norman.
Glad to be here.
We're also joined in studio by taxi leader, Haimanot Biziwayihu, board member of the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers, which sponsors the Taxi Link. Welcome, Haimanot.
Thank you for having me on.
Well, we want to begin. It's been a while since the Taxi Link's been on air, and I wanted to thank you, Haimanot, and the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers for making this happen. I'm speaking on behalf of myself and Tony. We're glad to volunteer to host this show, and we both know the importance of getting drivers' voices out there. And so we wanted to say thank you very much, Haimanot, and I know Tony wanted to say a word or two.
Yes, we want to thank the Small Business Association for continuing this project. We know that the fight continues. It is a continual campaign. It is a continual job to raise the level of consciousness with the residents, the Taxi Cab Commission, taxi cab drivers about the issue with taxi cab drivers, because it's not just about taxi cab drivers. It's about a fair wage, fair opportunities for all individuals here in the Washington metropolitan area. So I want to thank again the Small Business Association for sponsoring this show and keeping the issue out there, because there are going to always be issues affecting taxi cab drivers that's coming down with this particular taxi cab commission. That's why we have to stay out in the battlefield. We can't just go home when we think the battle is won and then have to re-energize the troops to come back out on the battlefield. We got to stay out there.
And Haimanot, maybe you could explain why. I mean, it's not like drivers had a lot of extra money, so this is a financial commitment from drivers. Why are you making this choice? Why is this important, and what do you hope to convey to drivers? And again, thanks.
Thank you, Peter. First of all, I would like to thank you and Tony for volunteering to host this show. And I would like also to thank drivers out there who contributed their money to make this show happen. These drivers who contribute their own money to make this show happen fully understand the magnitude of the problem that their industry is facing today. And they just want to thousands of Washington, D.C. cab drivers through this show. So, again, I would like to thank those individual drivers who volunteer to contribute money for the show. The Small Business Association has been working hard to defend the rights of the drivers. We're working hard to defend the taxi cab industry, which our livelihood is based on. And the Small Business Association believes that reaching to more and more drivers and bringing them as a member of the association will really strengthen the association and to defend our industry and our livelihood.
A lot has happened. I think the last show was sometime maybe in September, and a lot has happened since then. I don't know if you want to talk about, there's a whole number of things, including the taxi smart meter system, which was a major contract that was awarded to Verifone and then was overturned by the Contract Appeals Board because of problems in how the contract was awarded. And there are a number of other issues. I don't know if you want to touch on a particular that we haven't had a chance to over the past couple months.
Well, yeah, that's a very hot issue still. As you know, and as many drivers know, the city awarded the smart meter contract to Verifone about a little over 6 months ago or so. And that contract was thrown out by the Contracts Appeals Board due to the procedural errors. And also, at that time, the Small Business Association and its member drivers were going to the city council and the DC Tax Cab Commission and testifying regarding this proposed rulemaking. And during that testimony, Small Business Association over and over again tried to bring attention to the public and to the Tax Cab Commission commissioners that awarding this contract to one vendor, which is going to be a monopoly, is not going to benefit both the drivers and the passengers. And we were suggesting and we were proposing that this has to be, if we have to put this credit card system, that we have to be in on our own from different vendors, so that we to in process to avoid this monopoly. And thanks to many drivers who supported us during that fight, the DC Tax Cow Commission changed their mind, its mind, and allow us to put this credit card readers in our own by choosing our vendors. But still, that proposed rulemaking is still on a hearing and a comment process. There is a hearing, a comment period on coming April 17, 2013, which is a coming Wednesday, which is very, very, very important, because still that modern taxi, they changed the name from meter taxi system, I mean smart meter taxi meter system, to a modern taxi meter system. And the proposed rulemakings has many provisions that will still will be not fair to the drivers, especially when it comes to the tracking device. So we are still fighting that. In order to win that fight, we need the support of the drivers. So,
and Hyman, I was interested because nobody was really raising concerns about this so-called taxi smart meter system except for drivers. You didn't hear concerns raised in the media. And yet, when the Contract Appeals Board looked at it, they had to overturn the contract because there were such serious problems. I wanted to turn to the taxi commission. Well, let me also say that one of the things, the way they were going to pay for the smart meter contract is with a 50-cent surcharge on each and every ride. And while the smart meter contract has gone away, this big screen they were going to put in back, Verifone, that was going to play ads in every cab, except cab drivers weren't going to get any of the ad revenue, that contract's been done away with. And yet, Ron Linton, the taxi chairman, is still trying to move forward with the 50-cent surcharge. Again, that was initially justification for the smart meter system, even though the smart meter system is not going forward. I wanted to turn to taxi chair Ron Linton's comments. I think it was a meeting in March, in which he discussed the 50-cent surcharge. Now he's proposing that half of that money go to drivers and half go to the commission. Here's his comments from March.
We have, over the past year or so, since engaging in this action to achieve a credit card situation in taxicab, told drivers they would bear no cost for this system. And we have informed riders who use taxicabs that they would pay a 50-cent surcharge per trip. Thus, the modifications that we have made address these commitments and provide a rule that will, we believe, result in no cost for the MTS to drivers. As a matter of fact, our studies indicate that drivers should experience between a 2 and 4% increase in revenues over and above the costs that are incurred for the system. Most riders will not bear any additional financial burden other than the 50-cent surcharge, which now is proposed to be split between the commission and the drivers. We are proposing in this revision that the flag drop fee be increased 25 cents from $3 to $3.25 to help underwrite the costs for installation, equipment, and transaction fees. The commission will receive 25 cents to fund our programs and administrative operations. The commission also intends in this revision to allow drivers to charge $1 for two or more additional passengers. Now, I want to be clear that this charge is not $1 per additional passenger, but $1 whether it's one, two, three, or more passengers. We have ascertained that this charge would apply to 21% of all the rides that are taken in taxicabs in the course of a year in the District of Columbia. All other charges to the passenger will be eliminated except the $2 radio dispatch fee for companies that already provide this type of service and the $15 snow emergency fee. The Commission is establishing a system that will be responsive to the competitive marketplace and allow vehicle owners to seek their best deal. It is expected that as many as 9 or more payment service providers will be approved to offer their services.
That was Taxi Chair Ron Linton speaking at the DC Taxicab Commission hearing in March. As Hyman mentioned, there'll be a hearing on the newly called Modern Taxi Meter System this coming Wednesday at 10 a.m. Hyman, I want to get your response and then turn it to Tony Norman.
Yes. Initially, they proposed the 50 cents passenger surcharge. but with, through the Small Business Association during all those hearing periods, testimony and explanation to the all the commissioners that this modern taxi system is going to cost the drivers, and that when there is a cost, there must be some sort of fee to recover that cost that the drivers and the company is going to incur. And they propose again to split that 50 cents between the drivers and the commission itself. But still, that is still under proposed rulemaking. That's the hearing, the comment about on the coming Wednesday. But still, we are insisting that the Tax Cap Commission shouldn't collect any fee from the passengers increase the 25 cents. If they have to give us that 25 cents to cover our cost, that it should become as a surcharge instead of included on the base fare.
Tony Norman, it was just a couple months ago that we were sitting in a courtroom listening to the arguments for the Verifone deal and why it should be overturned. Talk a little bit about that. You're an attorney. That contract was overturned. And yet, despite that, you still see this 50 cent surcharge moving forward.
Yeah, I think the nature of that is part of the problem now with why the Verifone issue was overturned is because of the way this commission and the city is dealing with this issue. They're not getting a broader base input from cab drivers. All of these, I don't know who's making these decisions, but they're made in a bubble by they're letting the top corporate industry decide these issues. For instance, the Verifone contract. I mean, there was very little input, a very little broad base public bidding on that contract. And that's why the whole thing collapsed on itself. And the same thing here. I don't know where they're coming up with these suggestions about splitting the 25 cents and who's giving them advice on this. I mean, it just shows you that the top people in the industry are giving them this because they're looking at it from their financial perspective instead of looking at it from a public interest perspective and a taxi cab driver perspective. That's the reason a lot of these things are being challenged in court, because they're not open. There's not any fair due process in making these decisions. And they're just arbitrary and capricious based on whoever's benefiting from these recommendations.
As Hymenot mentioned, this hearing Wednesday, 10 a.m., and it's the last hearing as well as I think this one is at the Reeves Center, which is at 14th and U, and that's Wednesday, 10 a.m. I wanted to – another issue where big business has moved in a big way to the detriment of independent drivers is with the Uber, the sedan class vehicles, which are unregulated while taxi cabs are heavily regulated. Last July, Uber CEO Travis Kalanick testified before the D.C. Council. Ward 1 Councilmember Jim Graham questioned Kalanick over why sedan class vehicles like Ubers should be unregulated while taxis remain highly regulated. We're going to go to that clip.
If you allow competition, what you'll get is a better taxi industry.
Right, but you can't have – one last point, Madam Chair. You can't have competition where one party is unbridled and able to do whatever they please whenever they want to do it, and the other party has their hands and feet tied. You know, this is by regulation. That's not competition.
No Uber can go pick up a customer that puts their hand out.
Well, that's true. But what? Who doesn't have a cell phone in the District of Columbia today?
No, I understand. But my point is, in cities around the country, all over the country, this is the regulations you have for sedans and for taxis are almost identical to what they have in the other cities.
No, but you have a decided advantage in the scheme that you are describing right
but
now.
But that means that drivers are making a better living and riders are getting a better service. And that doesn't sound
Uber,
bad to me.
If everybody were Uber.
That was Ward 1 Councilmember Jim Graham questioning Uber CEO Travis Kalanick last July. Hymenot Biziwayihu, the issue of Uber, these unregulated sedan black cars that can basically do anything, charge differing rates, while taxi cabs remain highly regulated. What's the issue here?
Well, Council Member Jim Graham's concern at that time of the hearing was right. That's exactly Uber doing these days. He heard that the CEO of the Uber testifying that Uber drivers will not pick up a street fare from the streets. But that's what exactly happening these days. And the process taking away our business. It's not only that, but Uber is introducing when First of all, when Uber comes to the system, it was the reason that he gave to the during that testimony does was that DC taxis are not good. DC taxi cab drivers are dirty. Their vehicles are dirty, and that they just want to bring a more cleaner, more efficient transportation system to the visitors and residents of Washington DC. Now, after saying that and somewhat successful in bringing the their company in Washington DC, and their service was not that much satisfactory to the riding public, and they were almost losing ground on that, they turned around, they created Uber Taxi. And they just want to stay in the system by using us. Now they are using us as cab drivers. Those cab drivers who doesn't have the full information about what Uber is doing have signed up and working under Uber. But one thing they didn't realize that is that after Uber fully established itself in Washington, D.C., the business of the taxi drivers is going to be taken away and given to those black cars and sedan cars. Drivers should understand this. Council member Jim Graham was right when he confronted the CEO at that time. And we have to wake up. Even though we have to continue to make sure that this industry is abide by the rules. The Uber. But we don't have to rely on that. We have to come together, drivers of Washington, D.C. We have to come together and compete. And, using the same business model like Uber is using. It's just Uber is using. Why is Uber looks popular these days? They don't have anything other than creating convenience for the riding public. How? But the public are using just a smartphone application to call taxis or any transportation. So we have to follow the same business model and compete with Uber. Believe me, if we do that, at any given time, if a passenger calls a cab versus a sedan car, taxi cabs are everywhere, in every corner, every street of Washington, D.C. We can get there in less than four or five minutes than with the Uber sedan cars take, maybe half hour, 45 minutes, and even much cheaper price. So, passengers definitely going to choose us over Uber. So, but we have to follow the same business model and stop Uber from taking our business away.
Tony Norman, the issue of Uber, and can you also comment on their variable pricing model? So if it's Friday night and there's a high demand, they can charge a lot more, which seems kind of contrary to being a public service where it's one price. Taxi cab drivers can only charge one price. But Uber, when it gets hot and heavy and there's a lot of traffic, they can charge a lot more.
Well, I think the council member hit the nail on the head. That's not fair competition. The Uber executive is saying that there's nothing wrong with fair competition and better quality service. That's not true. It's not fair. Because they are not unregulated and they can pretty much do what they want and they can change their prices. And a lot of drivers, when you investigate deep, a lot of the drivers working for Uber are not making a great deal of money when you look at the arrangements of what they're doing. And plus, they are picking up people off the streets like regular cab. But let's get to the fundamental problem here. And I think the Taxi Cab Commission is confused on this point, as well as the general public, which is why we have to do a great deal of education. This is a class issue here. Certain people feel that a number of drivers are, quote, foreigners and outside of the district, and they're trying to, steer them away from that. It's a classic class issue here with the regular cab drivers, most of them being Ethiopian or Eritrean or Indian or whatever sort of thing that is, and the passengers are not relating to that, and Uber feels it can step in and take advantage of that. And the council, being uneducated on this sort of issue, are starting off from a premise that the regular cab drivers are horrible and ex-offenders and criminals, and we got to save the public from them with emergency buttons in the front and the back, on the side and on the doors. And that's the premise that they start from. Whereas Uber is this upper middle class sedan service that you can glide to your party and your bar in luxury with an American driver in an American luxury car. There is a classic class issue going on here that the council need to be educated on, the general public need to be educated on. That's the fundamental issue that's driving all of this.
You mentioned the council and the general public. What about the media?
And the media, that's right, very much. The media, the Washington Post, the city paper, they are uneducated as to what's happening with the average driver out there. And that we have to raise the consciousness with the regulator, the media, about what's actually going on here. And I think the public is confused because they think when they jump into a cab, they're jumping back into the 18th century driving through Afghanistan. That's the impression that the media gives. And therefore, they have a hostile relationship to drivers and drivers' concerns and the average driver's interests because they don't relate to that. And the politicians don't even think the drivers are their constituency because they think they all live outside the district. And even if they do, they're still a part of your constituency, and we have to look at drivers' rights.
That's the voice of Tony Norman, co-host of the Taxi Link, ANC commissioner and chair of ANC 1B. And when you speak of the media, again, I made the point earlier in the program, but the Verifone contract, the media was just totally on board. This is reform. It's great. It was only drivers who were saying, this has some serious, serious problems here. You're putting cabs in TV screens in the back of every cab. They don't share in any of the revenue. There's no real clear way that all this can be. I mean, if you the Taxi Cab Commission heads up anything, you've got to be worried about implementation. And the courts weighed in that said, yeah, drivers were right here. The media didn't really do much on that at all. Another issue that the media has been silent on is privacy. Privacy regarding when you have all these smart meters they keep changing the name, but some variety of that. What the Taxi Cab Commission and what Mary Che, the Ward 3 council member who chairs the relevant committee that's oversight of the commission, they want data. And what drivers are concerned that you can, and correct me here if I'm wrong, Hymenot, but it's okay in the aggregate. But to take each credit card swipe and get each driver's exact information, and then you could even trace passenger information, is one of the main concerns. And last summer's omnibus taxi bill passed, but only after amendments were made to it, including one regarding data for privacy for passengers and drivers. This privacy amendment, which passed unanimously, was introduced by Ward 6 council member Tommy Wells.
I'd like to propose an amendment that I hope Councilmember Che will take as friendly. I understand that many taxi drivers have concerns about privacy related to GPS systems. They're concerned about their own privacy and that of their customers. However, I'm also advised that we may be able to overcome these concerns by making the data anonymous. Real-time information on taxi location availability has the potential to be invaluable to customers, particularly if the universe of creative phone app developers have access to such data. I'd like to amend the bill to require that the Taxi Cab Commission provide an assessment to the council in 60 days of the effective date of this act regarding the feasibility of making data collected from taxi GPS system publicly available and anonymous in an anonymous format for the purpose of developing software tools that may be useful to taxi customers.
Let me tell you what Tommy Wells' amendment was.
That was Ward 6 council member Tommy Wells. Despite the unanimous vote on Wells' amendment, Ward 3 council member Mary Che argues that the privacy amendment doesn't apply to taxis, even though it was passed specifically for that purpose. Che chairs the Committee on the Environment, Public Works, and Transportation, which has oversight of the taxi cab industry. At the Taxi Commission's oversight hearing in February, Che said it was folklore that the privacy bill applied to taxis, and she instead insisted that it was only intended for online services like Uber. We go now to that clip.
Actually about. Tommy Wells introduced an amendment with respect to the online services like Uber that instead of, it had nothing to do with this. His amendment, which we did adopt, was simply to say that that service, had a report by census tract and not otherwise. So I don't know where you're getting this folklore about that, but that's what that was about.
That was Ward 3 Councilmember Tommy, Ward 3 Councilmember Mary Che. Before that, we played Councilmember Tommy Wells. So explain what's going on here, Hymenop Biziwaihu, and then I want to go to Tony Norman as well. What is this amendment, and is Ms. Che correct that it doesn't apply to taxi cabs?
From the very beginning, this was the number one concern the taxi drivers and the taxi companies and industry in general has. And Small Business Association, board member of Small Business Association, did a very great job during that time to educate some of the council members about this privacy issue. And because of that, Tommy Wells clearly understands our concern, the industry concern, and the riding public concern, and submitted that amendment on that day and unanimously adapted by all city council members. And it is today, I mean, it's very surprising to me that Councilwoman Che saying that only applies to Uber, but whereas, as you played on the clip, Councilmember Tommy was clearly mentioned, I mean, a couple of or three times about taxi cab drivers in taxi industry and the riding public are concerned about this issue. And that's why the reason why he's submitting that amendment and unanimously adopted. And Councilwoman Mary Che said it is included in the bill or in the act, but we don't see it anywhere in the act or in on the bill, that amendment. And I don't know whether it is oversight on her part or deliberately omitted that part, that amendment, but it's nowhere to be found. So that issue is going to continue. We are we are demanding that amendment to be valid and to be used to be considered when they vote on this latest proposed rulemaking on chapter 8, I believe, chapter 6, the modern taxi system. But if that's not the case, I think drivers and the mayor association has to come together and maybe challenge this in using a different avenue.
Tony Norman, talk about the privacy issue and the legislative process here. It was unanimously adopted, this privacy issue, and it seems like Che may not be following up on it.
Yeah, and we were very involved during the deliberative process of getting that particular provision in there. We discussed it with Che. When I say we, the representative of the taxi cab industry, why the drivers wanted that in there. And I think the first step we need to probably do is go to Tommy Wells to come out publicly, since he plans on running for mayor, to clarify what his amendment was, and to, if necessary, we get another council member to clarify that through the legislation presently. If they're not willing to do that, you have to look to any legal option. But first, I would try to get through the Tommy Wells need to come out publicly and say that's exactly what his amendment says and what he's trying to do. I mean, once again, even Che, she's not being confused about this. Even when we went in her office, she was very much against that from day one to have that anonymity with the taxi cab. She claims that we need it for transportation purposes, to know where the taxi cab drivers are going and who's going in Ward 7 and who's going in Ward 8. And I don't think too many Uber people are initiating rides out in Ward 7 and 8. So I think this is something that we really need to follow up on. And once again, it just goes to show you the psychology of the regulators, why they're approaching this from this perspective. They want to put this provision in here to monitor that. It's not just passengers, but mainly to monitor the cab drivers, as if, one, they presume that they're cheating the city out of money. So that's why they want the smart meter to regulate how much money cab drivers are getting all the time. And then they want to regulate and monitor them when they're off duty to some extent. So it's like they want to put, these braces on their cab drivers, like you put braces on prisoners who are in home detention. So they want to put detention braces on the cab drivers so they can monitor these folk where they are 24/7. And so this is a very troubling, it goes you to the nature of the psychology of the council members, and especially this man called the Chairman Linton and the commission. This is a commission that is not representative of the taxi cab industry. And I mean truly the industry. The industry is the drivers, starting from number one. You have a he's more like the a warden of a prison when he looks at taxi cab drivers. And that's how he proceeds. That's how his regulations proceed. We need to regulate these prisons. We need to put braces on their ankles so we know where they're going, and they treat them that way. It gets back to the heart of the psychology of these people.
And we're going to play some clips from a recent hearing. Actually, I think yesterday, Haimanot, you testified, as well as Negede Abebe, who's chairman of the Small Business Association of D.C. Taxi cab drivers before Chairman Linton. This is the Taxi Link. I'm Pete Tucker with my co-host, Tony Norman. And our guest is Haimanot Beziwaihu, board member of the Small Business Association of D.C. Taxi cab drivers. I want to give out two telephone numbers. One is that the signal will get weak around 7:45. We're going to go till 8. So, but you can listen on your phone, and you can listen on your phone anytime live. And the number is, and I'll give it out twice, 832-225-5330. Again, that's the telephone number if you want to listen live over your phone as opposed to over the radio. And again, that number is 832-225-5330. I'm going to give out another number, and that's for the taxi phone conference, which it takes place just after this program, and it takes place in Amharic, not in English, but in Amharic. And that number is 712-432-3100, and the code is 140465. I'll give it out again in a second. And the importance of this phone conference, which has been going now for, a year or two?
More,
is that drivers are driving Saturday nights. They're on the road. That's the time where you can actually, you know, make some money. And so it's an excellent time to, on a regular basis, talk about the issues that are impacting drivers, bring up, just like with this radio program attempts to do, bring up the baseline education level about what's taking place, let people, there's so much going on and drivers are struggling so hard to make a living. It's critically important to get that basic information. And so this is something the Small Business Association has done, which is really quite brilliant. And again, for those, this phone conference, which takes place, is separate from the show. It takes place afterwards. If you speak Amharic, do tune into it. And the number again is 712-432-3100, and the code is 140465. And also, I want drivers to know that this entire show and in each show will be posted a day or so after the show at thefightback.org. All one word, thefightback.org. And you should be able to listen to it on your smartphone, any show from the past. So spread the word and let drivers know about that so they get a sense of all that's happening. As I mentioned, the D.C. Taxi Cab Commission. Do you want to say a word about the phone conference, Haimanot? As I mentioned, the D.C. Taxi Cab Commission held a hearing Friday on enforcement of taxi regulations. The commission heard testimony regarding proposed amendments to Chapter 7 of Title 31 of the D.C. Code, which deals with enforcement. Among those testifying was Haimanot, as well as Negede Abebe, both board members of the Small Business Association of D.C. Taxi Cab Drivers. We'll turn to Negede's testimony in a moment, but first here's an exchange between Haimanot and Taxi Chair Ron Linton. The audio quality isn't great, so listen carefully. And we now turn to that clip. Here's Haimanot testifying before Linton.
Guilty of that complaint or crime, they should be still free people and have their license with them. If they are not supposed to be saying, oh, pay this amount of money and then the thing is going away, why? Without even proving that the driver is guilty. And
have you been through the complaint process?
Never.
No.
And I would never.
And then your drivers that you've talked to who have been through there have not accurately explained to them that at the mediating session, they don't have to pay a thing if they don't want to.
Yes.
That's a voluntary action that results from the discussion.
Yes.
They're not compelled to make any payment of any fine until after a hearing before a hearing officer.
Okay.
If they choose that route.
I understand that, but there is a reason why they're doing that. One, this complaints were filed 6 months, a year ago. There is no way that driver can remember what happened 6 months or 1 year ago, if it happens. So when they've been called to the office and asked, you did this a year ago, you did this 6 months ago, I mean, this is his livelihood.
So far, sir, every one of those that have been brought to my attention, where that 6 months or 4 months or 3 months gap has appeared, when we've investigated, we found that the driver failed to respond to the original notice.
That was an exchange between taxi chair Ron Linton and Hymanot, who joins us in studio. Negede Abebe, chairman of the SBA, the Small Business Association, also testified. Negede raised concerns over the lack of timeliness and fairness of the complaint process, which can result in actions being taken against drivers months after an alleged incident may have taken place. We turn now to Negede's testimony. This is actually Linton's response to Negede's testimony.
You say we should not accept any oral complaints, but you are familiar with how we process complaints from passengers. No oral complaint is acted on. Any complaint we receive before being acted on is converted to writing and signed by the complainant. We do not act on any complaints in which there is not a complainant who has signed their name to the complaint. Now, given that, would you still insist that we not accept anybody's oral complaint?
No, as long as the complainant signs it.
But I'm telling you, that's the system. Now, the second part of the system, which I'm sure you were familiar with this. No complaint is taken into consideration no communication is made with the driver until a preliminary assessment is made on whether the complaint has any merit to it. Now, you hear about the complaints the drivers receive, but we don't tell you about the complaints that we don't follow up on because we make the judgment there's no merit to it.
That was Taxi Chair Ron Linton responding to Negede Abebe. Hymanot Bizuaya, who you testified yesterday, what's at stake here? What's going on with this complaint process? And explain how it works or doesn't work fairly for drivers.
Well, the Taxi Cab Commission is attempting to amend Chapter 7, which deals about the enforcement of these complaints from passengers. Right now, what the Taxi Cab Commission is doing is unfair to drivers, and we want to raise that to the at the hearing. So we told them that what the Taxi Cab Commission is practicing today, because the existing regulations say that if there is a complaint filed against a driver, the Taxi Cab Commission within certain days, I believe it's 10 days, receiving that complaint, has to send a letter to the alleged driver explaining what the accusation or the incidents are in a certified mail. But that's not exactly happening. Instead, what's happening as the Taxi Cab Commission is they are calling drivers to the office after these alleged incidents happened or filed 6 months, a year or more ago. And the drivers don't have any clue when they go there what they are accusing of. And the only thing they receive a letter or a phone call is that to come to the office with their face card and driver license.
They don't receive the complaint itself.
No, they don't. They don't. Even once they are in the office, the officer or whoever is a Taxi Cab Commission representative will show them some sort of paper and say, these are what you are accused of. And then the drivers don't remember even what happened a year ago. And, okay, can I have a copy of that? So the driver asks, they don't even give them a copy. Look, you are here, the driver is here accused of doing something that potentially threatens his livelihood, but he's not even given the copy of the alleged report or incident. How is he going to defend himself? And how come the Taxi Cab Commission take his license away and give him some sort of paper to drive his cab? I mean, before when he's found of guilty of that alleged incident. So that's what exactly we complain about, we opposed about, and in this new proposed rulemaking, they have to change it, and they also proposed rulemaking, they just want to start accepting complaints over the phone. Come on. How? And anybody in the street can make a phone call to that car commission and say, driver so-and-so did this to me, and then you're going to be called to the office and That's it. Their license is going to be taken away. And also, what's surprising to me is that when the driver goes to that office, they'll be told that you did this on a year ago. So if you want the case to go away, pay like ranging from $100 to $500 and the case go away. Even before he knows what he's accused of.
Mm.
So that's that we are opposing, the Small Business Association are opposing. And there are many drivers out there that went through this process. And those drivers, when we raised this issue, the chairman said he's not aware of it. And he want to ask to file a formal complaint or written complaint. So we are going to do so. So we want to tell the drivers who went through this process to contact the Small Business Association. And in our office, you can give the address, our address. Maybe you have it. I can't give the address. Our office is located on 1924 9th Street Northwest in Washington, D.C. So those drivers who have this kind, who face this kind of illegal treatment from Tax Cap Commission, can contact our office. Our office is open from Monday to Friday, from 11 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. And then we can document this illegal activity, this illegal or violation of the right. I call it a violation of the rights and violation of the regulations in the Title VII, which is a governing document for the taxi cab industry. So we want these drivers to contact us so that we can formally submit our complaint with their case.
And the office is at 9th and U.
It's near 9th in the U.S.
Near 9th and U.
Yes.
Tony Norman, can you respond to this? Is, I know, as an attorney, as an ANC commissioner, you're familiar with legislative and judicial and deliberative processes. Where does this one rank?
I'm very disturbed by it. I mean, clearly, it's very troubling that about the due process of a written complaint and the driver having an opportunity to know what allegations are being made against that driver. And timeliness that they can respond and hear it in time. If they have to wait 6 months to respond to something, you know, justice delayed is justice denied. So they're entitled to a immediate hearing to the response of the complaint. But another troubling thing, and listening to that just tape, when Linton was saying we act on every written complaint, this is the same Linton that went on television and said drivers were pulling passengers and beating them. And we found out there were very few written complaints on that. This is the same Linton that went on television and saying drivers are beating up passengers, pulling them out of cars, dragging them in the streets. He was on television and said that. And you yourself, Pete Tucker, investigated some of that. And some of those were questionable allegations about all these drivers, not undocumented, pulling peak passengers
and beating them.
And he went on television saying that. Nobody filed a written complaint on that, but this is the same Linton that says that. So there's some very troubling mentality on the part of this chairman. He shouldn't be the one articulating regulations of giving drivers a fair due process of hearing. Some objective counsel or the attorney general should be putting together those regulations, not Linton, not the former Marine police officer Linton that has clearly has a prejudice against the taxicab drivers. Keep in mind, this is a man, when you have 200 drivers at his hearing, he's only going to let the first 26 testify. And then after that, even when the Small Business Association, which represents taxicab drivers, he says, if you're speaking for that organization, if you're speaking for taxicab drivers, then drivers who are part of that organization, even if it's another 500, you can't speak. Somebody needs to challenge. This is the same Linton that does that. Now he's going to try to articulate fair regulations for the adjudication of complaints against cab drivers. He clearly starts off with a prejudice and an animosity against cab drivers.
Hymanot mentioned for drivers who are going through this, they can get to the SBA office at 9th and U, and Monday to Friday, 11 to 1:30 p.m. Also, you can get in touch with me at thefightback.org, and myself, or Will Martin, who produces this show. We want to know more about this process. If anyone's going through it, we'd like to see how it works or doesn't work so well and be able to report on it here. So if you're going through this process, if a complaint has been filed against you and you just get a notice in the mail, you don't even get the complaint and you know, or call the Taxi Cab Commission, please get in touch with the Small Business Association, get in touch with us, because we all want to document this process and bring it to light. We just have some minutes left. Any final thoughts? I wanted to turn to a clip from the Boston Globe, which is a fascinating clip. We're going to go till 8. The signal may not be at its strongest now, but I wanted to get final thoughts, Hamanat, from you and Tony before we turn. It's a fascinating piece of journalism that the Boston Globe did on the taxicab industry in Boston. But Hamanat and then Tony, final thoughts.
Yeah, thank you, Peter. Look, whether you call it this unfair regulations or unfair treatment from of drivers by the taxicab commission, the HAC inspectors, we can only stop this by uniting. That's why Small Business Association was formed a little over, almost close to years ago, and we still trying to recruit more members so that we can be very strong and we can stand up for our rights. Small Business Association, with the number of members it has, been fighting the taxicab commission, the city council, advocating for the drivers for the last almost 2 years, and will continue to do so. But without the support of the drivers, this association cannot go anywhere. So please, drivers, join the association. As we mentioned earlier, we had open office in downtown area, which is 9th and DU, or the exact address, 1924 9th Street Northwest. We are open from Monday to Friday, 11 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Please come and join us, become a member, so that we can be strong, the association can be strong, and fight for your rights. The association, without you, is nothing. Thank you.
That's the voice of Hamanat Biziwayihu, board member of the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. And Hamanat, as we began the show, I want to end by thanking you for, although we still have a little bit to go, but before you go, I wanted to thank you for making this show possible and for all your organizing. And again, for drivers who speak Amharic, there's a phone conference which is going to take place not long after this show ends, and you can tune in at 712-432-3100, and the code is 140465. Tony Norman, your final thoughts.
My final thoughts is, once again, we have to raise the consciousness of the public, the media, and the public officials. These atrocities happening to taxicab drivers, not just in Washington, D.C. There are some outrageous things happening in Northern Virginia, in Maryland, the way they're treating taxicab drivers there. So it's a matter of raising the consciousness. I mean, if you let the people like Linton continue these regulations, he starts from the premise that all taxicab drivers just got out of prison. And they opened up the gates of hell and gave these folk and put them in a taxi cab drivers. That's the premise. If you look at all his regulations, that's how he behaves when you look at these type of regulations. This business has to stop. You have to raise the consciousness of the people, because even the public and the media are buying into this. They think that the cab driver, they don't relate to the cab driver. These are people from another country that we have no connection to, no relationship to. This has to stop. This is an educational campaign, and that's why I thank the Small Business Association and Hymanot and Nagetti and the rest of them for putting on something like this show to educate and raise the consciousness, not just of cab drivers, but the public and the media and the public officials.
And I want to thank you, Tony Norman, my good friend, my co-host, ANC Commissioner and Chair ANC 1B. And I want to also hope to see drivers Wednesday, 10 a.m. There's a Taxi Cab Commission hearing on the modern taxi meter system, and that's at the Reeves Center. That's at 14th and U, 10 a.m. this coming Wednesday. Look forward to seeing drivers there. I want to finish up with a recent Boston Globe expose, which pulls back the curtain on the mistreatment and corruption Boston cab drivers are subjected to while the police turn a blind eye. The Globe investigation reveals that while taxi passengers in Boston pay some of the highest rates among major U.S. cities, many drivers live in poverty.
Some drivers call it the humiliation window. In the belly of Boston's biggest taxi garage, cabbies shuffle toward a scratched and grimy dispatcher's window. Many drivers, hoping to get a cab for a 12-hour shift, say they slipped the dispatcher's bribes of $5, $10, or even $20.
You pay extra money like it's crazy money. If you don't pay that, you can't get a taxi.
While taxi passengers in Boston pay some of the highest rates among major U.S. cities, many drivers live in poverty. A Globe Spotlight investigation found that Boston's taxicab sector is plagued by petty bribery and overcharging of drivers. And the unit of the Boston Police Department that regulates cabs often turns a blind eye to fraud and abuse. The largely immigrant workforce of drivers experiences staggering exploitation at the hands of cab owners.
They deal with them, the driver, like a trash.
Even before bribes and rip-offs, many cabbies struggle to get by.
Yes, Abu.
They may be behind the wheel for 60 hours a week or more, and their income can fluctuate unpredictably. Cabbie Ahmed Ali Farah is a former driver for Boston Cab.
This is a job. It's a gambling. You don't know how much you make it.
The majority of Boston's 6,000 cabbies do not own the car they drive, nor the medallion attached to its trunk that is the license to own a cab. Instead, hundreds pay the medallion owners to drive for 12 or 24-hour shifts. Typical 12-hour shift fees can be around $120, including gas.
I start negative. You figure you start negative $120, and you take in $120. 110, and then you end up like, you know, paying $10 to drive a cab all night. You just didn't get lucky.
Cabbie Pierre Duchemin is a former driver for Boston Cab.
If it's a good day, you make money. If it's not a good day, the owner will still make his money and you don't.
The U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics puts an average Boston cabbie's income at $27,000. With drivers often on the road for 60 hours a week or more, it can amount to minimum wage or less. Medallion owners, on the other hand, are paid for every shift. They can expect to gross about $60,000 per taxi annually, regardless of how well the drivers do. The price of medallions has skyrocketed in recent years, and today, each is worth about $600,000. Boston's largest taxi owner is multimillionaire Edward Titungen, who owns Boston Cab. He has more than 370 taxi medallions, one out of every five in the city. They are worth over $200 million.
In 2006, Boston Cab Association was the first cab company to commit to purchasing hybrids for their fleet.
This 2012 video shows Titungen receiving a Green Business Award from the City of Boston for converting most of his fleet to energy-efficient hybrids. But Titungen is far from a model businessman. Amid lax or non-existent regulation of medallion owners by the city police, Titungen's employees find ways to squeeze money out of drivers.
This company, it's not United States. It's a terror company.
Farah began his career at Boston Cab. In 2004, Farah filed a discrimination lawsuit against the company, but says he couldn't afford to pursue it.
The owners, they do whatever they want.
That the drivers are treated disrespectfully in general.
Globe Spotlight reporter Bob Holler drove cabs in the 1970s to put himself through college. In late 2012, he got a new Hackney license and spent eight shifts driving for Boston Cab. He witnessed firsthand the driver's daily exploitation.
You notice that the people who are dispatching out the cabs every day, giving the cabs out, are taking money from one driver after another.
It's amazing company I never see. It's not even the one I came from, even Somalia. They don't treat it like that.
One driver after another is putting $2, $5 or more into their hands, presumably to get better treatment.
In addition to bribes, Holler saw how the company nickeled and dimed drivers in other ways.
They tell you to fill your gas tank up at the end of the shift.
You fill up the gas like this until it's coming out.
I've done that. I fill my gas tank up until it overflows onto my shoes and then go into the garage, which is less than three blocks away. And they'll charge me another $2 for gas, which is completely unfair.
Overcharges for gas from all the drivers combined could add up to as much as $100,000 annually.
That's the last week.
We hear complaints from other drivers.
Oleg Yuritsky is a spokesman for the city's taxi fleet owners. Uritsky says owners are just trying to make sure each driver starts his shift with a full tank.
If you come to the driver from the morning shift and tell him, you know, you didn't fill her up, a driver would say, no, I did fill her up, you know, and he would complain. So that kind of complaints, we do have it, unfortunately.
At the ends of their shifts, drivers for Boston Cab must put shift fees into a zippered pouch and deposit it in a drop safe in a back room at the garage.
Next day when you're coming back, they say to you, you don't pay the weight bill.
Whoever opened the envelope, remove $10, $15, $20, you're telling this guy he didn't put all the money.
Drivers are powerless to dispute that they shortchanged the garage because Boston Cab, like some other fleets in Boston, seldom gives drivers receipts. This is a clear violation of Boston Police taxi rules and leaves drivers without proof that they have paid for their shift.
He doesn't give us photo of receipt. If we ask him, we don't get a cab tomorrow.
The Globe's investigation found that the Boston Police Department, which oversees the taxi industry, tolerates even the most egregious owner behavior. In spite of transgressions by some owners, Boston police acknowledge that in recent memory, no owner has been stripped of a medallion. Mark Cohen, the city's top taxi regulator, declined to be interviewed for this video, but defended his work to improve the quality of the city's cab fleet and to protect public safety. Police Commissioner Edward Davis told the Spotlight team he is now redoubling his efforts to better regulate fleet owners. Like drivers, Davis said, owners will now be subject to yearly reviews to determine their suitability to own medallions. Boston cab owner Edward Tatunjan, who also declined an interview for this video, said in a written statement that the Globe's assertions about his company are, quote, false and troubling. He said that no taxi driver has ever complained to him about bribes, and notes that he entered the business in the 1960s as a cabbie and remembers what it was like. Meanwhile, out of fear of retaliation from powerful medallion owners, many drivers remain silent.
There is no really job out there. And that's the reason why we keep on doing it.
That was a Boston Globe expose that pulls back the curtain on the mistreatment and corruption Boston cab drivers are subjected to. We'll link to the video, and it's an extraordinary video. It's a very excellent job that the Boston Globe did. We'll link to it at thefightback.org. This has been the first show back, and it's good to be back on the air for the Taxi Link. For Tony Norman, my co-host, I'm Pete Tucker, and this show has been produced by Will Martin and engineered by Mark Taylor. Tune in each Saturday, 7 to 8 p.m. right here on WST 1120 AM to catch the Taxi Link. Till next week.
There's only one natural ingredient that could instantly shift your mood, help you focus, recall lost.